So I'm Jessica, and I'm still an alcoholic. And I'm super grateful to be here tonight. I'm really tired, but I'm glad I could be here. I'm glad Swacky Paw is here in Salt Lake. It's pretty awesome. So my sobriety date's November 10th of 2008. I'm really grateful for that day. I wasn't planning on getting sober. It just kind of happened, and it worked out that way. By the grace of God, I've stayed sober over the last 5.5 or so years. A little back story. I'm from California. I got sober out there. I grew up in what I thought was a pretty normal family. My parents were divorced, and my mom was off doing her thing, and I lived with my dad, and I was raised by my dad, and I had lots of different step-parents and nannies and people in and out of my life, and the only constant person throughout my whole entire life was my dad. But I thought that was kind of normal because that's all that I knew. And, I never felt like I really fit in. I always felt like I was really different, and I didn't fit in with the kids, and I didn't fit in with the adults, and I always was just in this weird place. And, I got sent to private school, and I really thought that that was my problem. Like, I didn't fit in with those people, and they had more money than me, and they lived in a different area, and they drove different cars, and, like, that was my problem. And so I switched to public school because that was going to fix me. But I brought myself, and it just – things got really bad really quickly. I started drinking. I blacked out the first time I ever drank, and then – it was, easier to get drugs at that time. So I quickly started getting loaded and doing drugs. And, I went from having like a scholarship to the college of my dreams to not caring and not going to school. And I barely graduated high school, and it wasn't by like my choice. I kind of got struck sober when I was 17. The court sent me to AA, and I kind of showed up. And in that little bit of time that I was here and I thought I was doing Alcoholics Anonymous, I was able to graduate high school. And after that, I got loaded again and was in and out of the rooms for about 3 years, and I just couldn't stay sober. What happened was I was in a really, really abusive relationship, and I was in, I didn't want to be alive anymore, but I was too afraid to kill myself, and I just kept, just life kept showing up, and I was like, I'm done. Like, I have no idea how to deal with any of this, and so I called my dad one day, and he told me he was going to take me to a psych ward because something was really wrong with me, and I just agreed, I'm out of ideas. This sounds like the best one I have. And so we went to go see a psychiatrist, and I got checked into a treatment center, and they told me I'd only be there for 2 weeks, which at the time rehab was really cool. Everyone was doing it, and so I was okay with that. And I ended up staying there for 4 months, and that treatment center introduced me back to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I started going to meetings, and I got a sponsor, and I started working the steps, and I started reading that book and being of service, and I was in a group that, I didn't know there was any other way to do Alcoholics Anonymous. They were just, really, really involved with everything, and our home group met 3 times a week. And I had service commitments at all those meetings, and we held tradition days and all this stuff. And we just did a ton of stuff together. And I just jumped in the middle of it because I didn't know how to do it any differently. And I'm really, really grateful for that because through that, my first year of sobriety, I had my wages were garnished, and I thought the world was going to end, and I had to take the bus to work. That was awful. And I had to work at a telemarketing job, and I don't belong there, all those little things happened, and I thought that they were the end of the world. And what happened was I would tell you guys, I'd show up to a meeting and tell you guys, and you guys would laugh at me and be like, okay, well, go greet that person, or go talk to this newcomer. And I was like, you guys really don't understand. I took the bus in the wrong direction and was late and got lost, and it was awful. And they'd okay, that's great. Go greet by the door. But what happened was I was showing up, and I was building that fellowship around me, and those people became lifelong friends. And I turned a year, and I had this giant princess party, and everything was about me, and it was really awesome. And it was but I was still in that frame of mind that this is what it was about, I still have the big fluffy dress that I'll never wear to anything else ever again. But all those people that showed up for me had watched me over that last year, and I had just built these really tight bonds. And then a month and 10 days after my 1 year, my dad fell through a skylight at work and died. And that was like my biggest fear, my one reservation, my one, if this happens to me, I'm going out. It was on the top of, you know, like when I did my fears inventory, it was the first thing on there. There's no way I was staying sober through losing him. He was like the only constant person in my life. And I just spent that last year really working on rebuilding that relationship. You know, I would call him to say hi and not ask him for something. And I would, you know, show up when I would say I was going to show up. And I was pissed, really, really angry. Why, you know, I was building this relationship with this higher power, and I was doing everything that Alcoholics Anonymous suggested of me. I mean, I didn't do everything with grace and dignity. I mean, I had a lot of, like, other behaviors that weren't great, but, like, in these rooms, and I was doing the program of Alcoholics Anonymous as you guys taught me to do, and then this happens. And fuck you guys, and fuck God. Like, why am I showing up to this, and why, like, what's the point, you know? Like, I've changed my life, and this still happens? Like, this is bullshit. And I was at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous when I got the phone call. My brother called me and said something happened. And then shortly later I got a, you know, call from my cousin, and she was like, "Where are you?" And I'm like standing in a meeting, and there's all these chairs everywhere. And all of a sudden, like, I can't get out the door because there's just a sea of chairs, and I'm like falling over, and somebody, I'm like trying to get out, and I can't get out. And, somebody took my phone and directed people to where I was, and I got picked up. And what happened that night was, you know, I had to go and I had to tell my little sister what had happened. And that was the most awful thing I've ever had to do, and watching somebody's life just crash in front of me. But I was sober. You know, if I'd been getting loaded, like, I wouldn't have shown up for that. I would have ran. I would have gone. Like, I needed to get well. Like, I would never have shown up and done that. And by the time I, like, told the family and made all these really awkward phone calls of, like, "Hey, Dad died," and hanging up on them, wasn't the best way to do that. But, like, I did everything the best I could, and then I got back to my sponsor's house, and the house was full of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, you guys had showed up, and you guys were there, and I didn't really want you guys there, and it wasn't really nice to you guys, and you guys still were there, you know? And you guys knew, like, what I was going through, and you guys supported me through it. And that had never happened to me in my whole entire life. You know, that had never, like, I had could go through anything, and nobody was ever there like that other than my dad. But, you know, no, like, I didn't have friends that were there when I was, like, I wasn't a nice person during this time. You know, and after that happened, I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't want to get loaded, which was weird, but I knew that kind of wasn't the answer. But I didn't want to be alive, and I definitely didn't want to be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous because this obviously wasn't working. And so I quit my job and just stopped working. I didn't even really call him. I just stopped working and, like, moved all my stuff into my sponsor's house and just, like gave up on life. And Alcoholics Anonymous kept showing up, and you guys would, like, literally drag me to meetings, and you guys would help me, like, get up and brush my teeth because I couldn't even do that, or, like, get me, like, into a shower, or, like, "Okay, we're going to, like, take that sweatshirt off now. You've been wearing it for a week straight," you know? And that's what, like, you know, the people in Alcoholics Anonymous showed up, and if I hadn't been that involved my first year, that wouldn't have happened, you know, and I'm really grateful that I was. But I'm still not believing in God, and I'm still not really buying that this is where I need to be, and I'm life got really, really miserable, like, really, really quickly. And so that happened in December. And then in February, two of my friends picked me up from work on a Friday night, and they're like, "We're going to Occupon, San Diego." And I'm like, "Fuck you guys. I'm not going anywhere. I don't have money. I don't want to do anything." And they're like, "Well, you're taken care of, and you're going." And so I was like, "Okay," like, didn't really have an option. And so I went, and I wasn't very happy about it, and I didn't really have a choice in it. And I told him that if it didn't work, if being at Occupy this weekend, and I hadn't really experienced WIPA at all, but if it didn't change anything, and if it didn't change the way I was feeling, that I was going to kill myself when I got back. And so they said okay, and we drove down there, and I was serious. And that night, it's like 2:00 in the morning, and I can't sleep, and everybody's just being crazy and loud and running around, and I can't handle it. And I wander into a panel at 2 a.m., and it's when tragedy happens in the family. And this guy from Fresno had flown down, and his name's Eric, and he was speaking, and he, you know, his story was a little bit worse than mine. And he had lost both of his parents in early sobriety in a really, really brutal way. And it was the first time that I thought that somebody else could understand what I was going through. You know, I never thought that anybody else, like, felt the same way that I felt. And people would come up to me and be like, oh, you know, I lost my dog. Like, I get how you're feeling. And I'm like, I'm going to kill you. Like, don't tell me that. Or, you know, my dad died of old age. And I'm like, really? Like, that's, like, not anything like this. And, you know, I was unique and I was different and nobody understood. And why was I going to stay sober? And this guy spoke. And I remember afterwards, my behavior wasn't that great. And he had shared that he had a girlfriend. And I was like, I can't go up to him and talk to him. And then I finally, like, walked up to him. I'm like, I know you have a girlfriend. I'm not trying to be creepy, but, like, I need to talk to you. Like, and he's like, okay, like, weirdo. And so like, we can talk. And he sat down with me. And for the next, like, 4 or 5 hours, while all the dances were going on, when all the fun was going on, when all the other stuff that was probably more appealing was going on, he sat down with me and he talked to me. And he talked to me about being angry at God. And he talked to me about getting involved in Alcoholics Anonymous again and how he made amends to those people. And he talked to me about all that stuff that I wasn't connecting with. And it renewed, like, my faith in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so after that, like, things, like, didn't get great. Life still went on, and I was still sad. And I remember a member of my home group pulled me outside, and he was like, you need to start believing in God. And I was like, I don't really need to start doing anything. Like, we're fine the way it is. Like, everything's just moving along. Like, why do anything? Like, you know, like, I'm kind of okay. I'm not getting loaded, and I don't really want to kill myself every day. And, he brought me outside, and I really, really respected this man, and he told me, he's like, you can still be mad at God, and you can still turn your will over to him. And I was like, what? Like, I can be mad at him? And we got on our knees, like, in the parking lot, on the gravel, all dirty, and, like, he's like, can I pray with you? And I was like, sure. And he's like, he started his prayer off with, like, you know, fuck you, God. And I was like, oh, I can do that? Like, I can, that can happen? And, it's not conventional, and I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but what it did was, like, it allowed me to still believe that I'm not the center of the universe, and I'm not running everything, and I'm not in control of everything, but that I still get to be angry, and I still get to have that feeling. And that started, like, that little bit of, like, that opening of starting to believe again, because life had gotten really, really miserable. You know, I'm sober, and I'm trying to show up, and I'm trying to sponsor these people, and, like, I'm just really angry, you know, and I stayed angry for a really long time, and, you know, through all those little things that happened, what it was there was people that were showing up to Alcoholics Anonymous were showing up in my life, you know, and I'm grateful for that. Like, if I hadn't had, you know, because I had a sponsor and she was doing the best she could, but she'd never experienced anything like this, you know, and so she didn't really have anything. She was like, I love you, like, we'll read the book together, and she's like, but you need to get help elsewhere, and, like, God just put all these people into my life that were able to take me through these little parts and these little bits of healing, and, you know, I slowly started to grow from it, and, like, it's not, like, that awful now, you know, I mean, I don't think it's, like, this super awesome experience that happened, but, like, I'm okay today, you know, I'm not so angry every day, and I get to keep growing and I get to keep staying sober. And then I get to walk other people through this. You know, I never thought that my experience would be beneficial to anybody. And, you know, recently, or, you know, a little over a year ago, like, I got to help walk another woman through losing somebody else. And it wasn't, you know, it's not something that, like, I'm super, like, this is the one experience I want to relate to other people about. You know, that's not what it is. But what, you know, what was awesome was when I got that phone call and I was able to show up like other people had shown up for me. Because I don't show up for anybody. You know, I don't do that. Like, that's a lot of work. It's really a lot of work to do that. But I got to do that because people had done it for me and I realized how important it was, you know, and it kind of came full circle. And, so, yeah, I don't know. I'm really, really grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm grateful that I get to walk through all this stuff with you guys. I'm grateful that I don't have to do anything alone anymore. I mean, I choose to do a lot alone, but I don't have to do that, you know? And I'm still stubborn, and I don't do everything perfectly in AA, but I try really hard to do the things that you guys suggest. And life keeps getting a little bit different. You know, not better all the time, but it gets different. And then, you know, I get a new, like, perspective on life, and I get to do this, and I get to have fun. And, you know, I thought my life was over when I got sober when I was 20 years old. Like, who gets sober at 20? Like, life is going to suck. And life has, you know, been anything but that. It's been, you know, up and down, and it's been fun. And I've learned so many new different things. And, you know, I wouldn't change any of that. So I'm really, really grateful to be here tonight, and thanks for listening to me.